rather be a Kiwi than an Aussie. I would rather be a Kiwi than an Aussie. Oh, shit, we're live. You're right, guys.
Fuck it. One win and you're already starting. He's already mouthing off, mate. Still 2-1, you melt.
A Carlton supporter and a Pom and the Blue Abroad show is live. Good evening, everybody. Welcome.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? It's there are scenes unfolding before our eyes. It is the end of round 17, 2023. It's the 10th of July, 2023. Paolo Sebastiani is here. Yes. Pommy is here. And the BA show is live. G'day, lads.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Paolo, how are you? Good work.
I'm very well. Yeah, very well. Nice cruisy start to the day, which is great. Baggers are up and about. Just hopped back home from the SEN studios. Just finished up recording our little podcast that I do with the great Nick Negropontis. So teaching him a few things about the game, which is good. So, yeah, it's been good. How are you two, gents?
We have been drinking the Kool-Aid for an hour.
So I've heard and so I've seen. Also, how's everyone in the chat? How is everyone going? It's livening up.
Yeah. It's blowing up. People have returned. After Essendon,
yes,
there was not many people around, just the OGs here through thick and thin.
Yes.
After Gold Coast, it was like still pretty chill. After Hawthorn, a little bit more, and then everyone, I think. Yeah, I mean, the opportunity has come. This is it. We've got another shot at being in the hunt again, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a good feeling. There's some good comments coming through. James reckons I've lost weight. Chills reckons the shine off my head is shining. Could be a sign for what's to come in the rest of the season, mate. We might be shining our way to the back half of the season, sir.
Well, Pommy's looking tanned. You're looking clean. You look happy and less stressed.
Yeah, I think it's the weight of the world off the shoulders, I mean, for everyone. It's nice when you win, isn't it? I had this discussion with Nick today. We just went through it for a fleeting moment on our little potty, and I thought, people go, oh, it's just a game. It's not. It's really not. Like, Pommy and us, and like, we all know, like, mate, it takes a toll on you, man. It really takes a toll on you.
Yeah. Well, we are a special bunch of supporters because we give more than the common supporter does to their club.
We give the most.
Yes.
We give the most. And I will say that, you know why I will say that? And Pommy, you can attest to this too. Everyone can attest to this. Just have a look at some of the crowds over the weekend for some big games in the complexity of the eight. Mate, there's empty seats everywhere. I'll tell you what, there won't be any on Saturday. Marvel Stadium this weekend. No. So,
well, I mean, it was brought to my attention that Optus, to try and get the crowds going, they've been doing tickets for $10 for adults and kids getting free, which reminds me of a song. You've got adults for a tenner, kids for free. Free, you are a massive club. Oh, the fuck. Big shout out to my mate, Frio Fan 213. You blocked me on Insta, but I don't forget, mate. Hey,
oh, he blocked you as well.
Yeah, he blocked me. He came into chat as well, gave me a bit of shit, and then I spent an hour singing that Fremantle's dog shit.
They're all the same. I'm telling you, when we play St Kilda, I've got some accounts screenshotted waiting for my reply. They don't even know I'm coming, but I'm coming.
Ironically, he was getting stuck into me late last night about the cricket, and the block came just as Wood ran the winning run. he was going to cop a spray. Good job you blocked me, because I'll tell you what, I'd probably be cancelled because I would have just released 2 weeks of Ashes banter on him.
Oh, my God. Well, I think it's safe to say tonight's going to be fun. Because it will be.
So it's always fun. Even when we're losing, we try to make it fun.
That's true. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get us all out of here, and we're going to watch the fan cam compilation for the round. Okay. I've got no music on this one. I'm trying it out. So feedback is welcome. So stand by. Welcome to the round 17 fan cams. After the Blues get a convincing win down at Optus Stadium.
Shout out to Frio Fan 208, who sent me a message after my preview saying that I'm a Pommy C-U-N-T, counting as shit, and half of our team wouldn't even get in the Frio reserves, and he had to Google them. So just a quick shout out to him, because there's 28 players. No one knows they've got 28 players. No one knows they've got 28 players. No one knows. Frio are a massive club. Oh, they fuck. Come on, Blues.
How good's that?
Mate, I'm trying to be careful. I don't want to get too excited, but I'm pretty excited.
Nah, but we just got to be happy for the fact that what they're doing is what we thought they could do. And to bring it with that pressure, like in that first quarter for the first 10 minutes or so, I don't think anyone's kicked a goal. But it looked like they were going to win this. Like, just from that moment on, you could just feel that they're not going to let this one go.
Physicality, the tackling, that first quarter, the pressure, like we tackled them like they shagged our nan or something. Like every single time they got near the ball, there was three Carlton players waiting to hit them. Physicality from Harry, bringing the ball front and centre if he couldn't bring a mark down.
Just, I had a feeling we had this in us. We've been building.
Yep.
And, yeah, I'm so happy that it came to fruition today. And I'm so G'd up to smash Port next week.
Great. There's a great interview in the week with Matty Kennedy, who I think is probably worth talking about in a moment. But he just said that you can actually try too hard. And I think that's almost what we were doing when we were losing those games. Everyone desperately wants to do something constructive, so they try to do too much. And
it's a completely different mentality. And you're seeing teams like St Kilda, like Adelaide, possibly Essendon, the Doggies. They're where we were last year, knowing, oh, looking at the fixture, we just need to win one or two or three. Then we've got finals. For us, we just know. We'll just win games. Just win and we're in.
You know, that's only three wins in a row, and we've got Port Adelaide next week. So... well, look, I mean, far out, this is giving me it's going to do my head in.
We have found the mix. That's what I want to talk about. I feel like the mix now seems right. They got it right after the bye, maybe going into the bye, because Fogg came in that game, right? Gold Coast game?
Yeah.
He just brings something else. Jack Martin, look how hard he goes at the ball. As much as I love Durden and Motts, I'd like them to develop in the VFL. They need to be knocking the door down before they come back.
Well, I'm not going to lift the lid or drink the Kool-Aid 1 week at a time, but close.
Someone said before, I haven't seen them play this well since partway through last year, and even then it was really chaotic and erratic. Where this just seems really free flowing. The intent that they're playing with is elite. It's so good.
Three teams, 3 weeks in a row, and we sliced Frio today at their home ground. Sliced them. From round 8 to 13, Tez, we kicked 44 goals. And in the last 3 weeks, we've kicked 49.
Well, I think a couple of the guys have already said it. I think it's just a team-first approach to what they're doing. Like, they're selfless. Like, our handball game is absolutely back, and they're just sharing it around, and even the goals as well, they're getting shared around. So I think it's just, I don't know what it was or what clicked, but something clicked to suggest that let's just share the load and get everyone involved. And that's what looks like it's been happening, and it's obviously working well for us. And the defense is standing up incredibly well too. So not sure what the change was, but I think that's what, from what we can see. But yeah, to turn it around in pretty much that week from the Essendon game to the Gold Coast game was pretty incredible.
See, I remember it was when we were struggling. He was talking about what connection is. And connection is, as soon as someone gets the ball, all the players in the team know what happens next, where to run, where to present, who to shepherd, where to look. And I'll eat a bit of humble pie here, because he's proved me wrong. And I'm not saying it means that we're going to win a flag, but the way Voss mate, it's hard. It's so hard.
Oh, fucking great, mate. That was that's what you want to see, you know. That was a good on the road. Can't ask more better than that. Seriously. Like, really bloody proud of the boys. Just the spread, the speed, but also the ability to take the pressure when it was coming.
Yep.
Can't ask more than that, honestly.
There's a couple of things. You and I, for almost going on 4 years now, we've gotten to points in the season where we've messaged each other one thing, and you messaged me today, and you said, today's the day. And today was the fucking day! Today was the day! Finally! This was it!
Lockie Fogarty. The injection of Lockie Fogarty.
Yep.
He's just that crumbing forward that we've been really, really craving.
Hello. Cheers, thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Question. I feel like it needs music.
Yes, I completely agree with that. It needs music.
It needs a bit of music. All right, good to know. See, this is what it's all about, testing and figuring out what works and what doesn't and moving on. Great.
I think the chat is suggesting this as
well. Chat?
Yes, chat's definitely suggesting.
Yeah. Music, yes or no, with the compilations. Let us know. Actually, the boss has spoken. Steffi Deggs, mate. Whatever she says goes. Okay, so that was round 17, fan cams. Boys, we're going to go through the game, get all your thoughts and just your storylines while everyone else in the comments does what they do every week. Those of you at home, summarize round 17 in 3 words. Paolo, we'll start with you, mate. We didn't hear from you last night. So what was round 17? How did you watch it? How did you absorb it?
Start well again.
Hmm.
It's been a big bugbear of mine, and I think for the club for pretty much the majority of the season, where we have not so much that we haven't started games well or with the right intent, but not being able to hit the scoreboard, I think, has hurt this group in game mentally and their application as well. And I think I think during the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, you kind of got, and we don't know if that's a big enough sample size. Maybe it is to a certain point, but I think the point in case was the Essendon game, where it was kind of even keel in the first quarter. And then the second term, we dominated field position. We dominated inside 50s and we went into halftime down. So you can kind of reassess at halftime and you've still got, you know, a second half to go out there and do it again. But then when Essendon kicked those first two goals of the third quarter, the heads drop, right? And that's when this group just wilts. And the fallback effect begins and you see 18 blokes behind the ball. And the club and the coaches and the team, they don't want to play like that. But when you're in that kind of mold, it's just almost this innate thing with these guys that they drop back an extra meter or two or three, and then that's it. That's when you know it's done. But the last 2 weeks, the start against Hawthorn and the start against Fremantle, we got that. It's the buzzword now, nourishment on the scoreboard early, and we're able to go on with it. And Pommy, you said it well, I think, in the fan cams when Frio kicked those two goals early in the second term, and that was, you know, the Sir Alex Ferguson squeaky bum time moment for us, where it's like, okay, we haven't really been able to hit the scoreboard early in the second term. Frio have got a bit of a run, but they responded well after that, and that's all you can do. So I was very, very pleased with the performance. I wasn't surprised with the win. I was surprised with how they dismantled Fremantle from start to finish.
Pommy?
Well, if you want free words, I don't think it'll be topped, but it's rocking good. Hey, rocking. hey, that one's free. Next one you pay for. Oh, I amuse myself. You should never drink your own work. But nah, I mean, honestly, I mean, to back that up, I think the big thing for me the last 3 weeks is building lessons that you can take with you when you come up against some proper sides. Because, I mean, I struggle to keep up with chants made for how much I got excited last night. It was really good from the boys. I think the big thing for me is nourishment's been one of the key words. Another one is buy-in. Voss froths are buy-in. He talks about it a lot. And this week, we've really seen a lot of people talk about speed, and it does my head in. Does my head in, because it's an absolute myth. It's an absolute myth, speed. Terry hears it all the time. See him glaze over already. Fucking hates it. I hate it too. I've actually banned it from draft previews. But you see when the ball moves that quickly, you look fast. Suddenly Cripps looks like Usain Bolt coming out of the corridors. Sauce burnt a player. And Sauce hasn't beaten anyone in a foot race until one of his nephews was just born. And they were crawling on the ground and he was running. So it shows you with the ball. But I think the big thing is the pressure. It's the pressure. And I can't remember a side, even last year, where we've actually made them look susceptible to mistakes. There was long kicks all day long down the wing from the opposition because we were hurrying them up. And by the third quarter, 10 minutes in, we looked bullies. Like, I have not watched a game where I felt sorry for the opposition. And it has to be taken into account. Loads of people will downplay this. I've already seen it on Twitter. You go on Twitter now, three things you'll see, right? People saying, woe is me, even though they've caused problems. Number two, right? Right, my favourite one. The fans, players have rebelled against Vossi. Right, and number three, my number one favourite, Fremantle was shit. Let's remember Fremantle were in the top eight. They were a lock at the start of the season. They are a good side. They have just been outclassed. Carlton are a good side. We've just been outclassed and been susceptible to pressure. 200 plus for four quarters of pressure is unheard of. And now Vossi's been validated. His buy-in was defence, fourth hardest side in the comp to score. Over the last 4 weeks, top four in defence versus rebound 50s. That's huge improvement. And the pressure in the final third now is making it all come together because no one's hanging back. So when we get onto the analysis, the big change this week has been stoppages and work around stoppage and clearance and controlling that ball, not defending that ball. And teams can't keep up with us. And there's a reason. This isn't Kool-Aid speaking. This is cold, hard fact. Our stoppage and clearance personnel beats any stoppage and personnel in the AFL. That's our one word. The players now accept they aren't Richmond. They aren't Collingwood. They're Carlton fucking football club. So this is what we're about. Hard at the centre and get that ball moving forward. They should be very proud of themselves because I think they've come up under a lot of stick since that guy had a go at them against Essendon. These boys are a football team now. And you know what? We've seen them become men because you can only beat what's in front of you. Next week, step up in class. Step up in class.
There was something to be said, I thought, this week for... I don't remember too many times where we've done it. Maybe Freo was the last time we did it in round 3, 2021, where we... really demolished them, but we broke them mentally. And Pommy, you and I spoke earlier today. You mentioned, you know, that third quarter really could have gone either way. We either let Freo back into the game. We had comprehensively beaten them in the first half. And then it just, there was a killer instinct away from home against a side who plays pretty well at home. And I that was the mental shift for me that I saw this week. And does it consolidate the previous 2 weeks? I think it does. I think more than anything, I'm not too worried and not too focused on the quality of opposition as much as I've been focusing on our ability to apply ourselves and the way in which we go about it. So now we've seen 3 games of sample size and you're like, okay, does this application defensively stand up against the good sides? We're about to find out. We're playing a top four side. Paul, how do you watch this narrative around, oh, the teams that we're playing are shit, as opposed to, oh, the way Carlton are going about it is in a certain way?
I think the first week when we flogged the Gold Coast, I thought, okay, well, you know, and you even saw it. I think there were a few people that said, okay, well, in the grand scheme of things, we don't know what it means. Is it going to be the turning point of the season? We still probably don't really have an idea, but the momentum is building now. So, and to a certain point, I think you can maybe buy into the fact that teams are weak, but I mean, it's the Freo over there is always a tough trip. I mean, Essendon, who were, you know, fifth on the ladder, got flogged by them only a fortnight ago. So I don't really buy into that kind of stuff. I mean, Port Adelaide only beat West Coast by, what, 50 points or whatever it was at Adelaide Oval. So, I mean, and Collingwood last year won how many games by B's diaphragm? So... it's more just the way we're going about it too. We've imposed our will on teams, and I think that's been evident for the last 3 weeks. And it's something you can build upon into the back end of next season. And, you know, Gold Coast have been up there this season. They're not an easy beat this year. You know, they've had some pretty good scalps, and Fremantle isn't an easy beat either. So what are we going to do, lose?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not at that point where it's – and I don't think any team can ever really be at that point where it's like, oh, we only beat this team and only beat that team. I think to a certain point, yes, maybe West Coast this year because they're just a complete write-off. But even they gave St Kilda a run for the money a couple of weeks ago. So just win. And win well. And we've done that for 3 weeks. So it's a fast stretch from the Essendon game, put it that way. Fast stretch.
Yeah. Pommy, what's the change? What's happened? What is it?
Well, I mean,
you mentioned buy-in.
A lot of people will say systems changed and it hasn't. So I'm going to have to down this so you can see it. But one of the big changes is here we are, look. We're going to be really technical. one of the first is we're circles, they're X's. But one of the first big changes we've seen is how we structure without the ball when we're leaving, when our inside 50s get turned over, right? So we're going to start off with this guy here, right? Now, genuinely what Carlton have done now is they leave the fat side open. We're challenging them to take the cross field kick. And that's what opposition do to us. Right. And that we fold for it. So we know they're going to go this way, right? Down this way. And what we're starting to see from our players now is a belief that always is here. He's going to make that tackle. And you see players like Martin take the short option away, which will then naturally, this guy will run unaided and will get them into the corridor where we set up. So you find that defensive midfielder I always talk about, Kennedy, he'll be sat here about 60 out and we're forcing that kick. But one of the big changes is being able to see players back each other chasing and taking the short options. And that's not a structural change. That's just literally what Voss has been saying. It's not tactics. It's buy-in. And the other big one is around stoppages. We're playing Boyd. He's coming all the way from back pocket and almost playing in a quarterback role. So if you remember last against Essendon, I complained that six of their goals were dump kicks out the back of stoppages. Absolute kills us because no one was around there. So we've now put him there to try and feed that ground ball and go straight over the top of the opposition, which has worked. And a big one around centre clearances, and no one's talked about it. We talked about that pivot last year Walsh used to do. That's still been there. The problem is the halfbacks have committed too much. Then they've got caught out on a centre clearance. The halfbacks are suddenly where the midfield are. There's gaps in behind. Players like Fritsch, Jake Stringer feasted on it against Carlton. They haven't been willing to get further ahead of the ball. This week, we're starting to see it come to shape that Akers and Cottrell roll out. Sard and Newman become extras in the midfield. Carlton win the ball back, one out the back. Cripps does this all the time this week. Handball out the back. Chera's there. He kicks it to the wing. Carlton are gone. Did it out of the stoppages. And they're the two things, but they are literally being brave enough to get kicked in the arse. And we've seen this since round one versus Richmond. The problem is it's very dangerous. And when we got caught, players stopped doing it. And then they leave that massive hole. And that's what teams are trying to do. Collingwood exploited this round 23. They put the pressure on. Carlton's halfbacks weren't willing to commit. The wings get caught in that little pocket. The wing haven't been overlapped. They have all that space for Dacos, Pendlebury to work in behind the stoppage. And that's become out of necessity. The Rook's been injured, probably helped Carlton. So people can go and say, like Josh, serial moaner, absolutely moans all the time. We've only beat Geelong, GWS, North Melbourne, Hawthorn, Gold Coast. You can't beat fucking Collingwood if you're not scheduled to play them at the moment. And it'd be brilliant. You know what I mean? It'd be fucking the tits. Do you know what I mean? It'd be awesome. You know what I mean? I could be married to Taylor Swift if I changed the realms of reality. But unfortunately, it's not. You've got to find your means. And unfortunately, we haven't done it. And at the moment, the team has been weak and it has been lethargic. But we have been calling for one thing, commitment. And I will say this. If you're on Twitter, you've got a poxy little podcast or you've got a half-decent one. If you've been going on around and complaining about this football club, right, and driving the reviews and getting the ad revenue and really fucking enjoying it, because it's easy to be angry. Trust me, I've made bits of career out of it as well. People love it when I get angry. What is hard, though, is to shake hands with the team and say, you know what? You have fronted up, right? You've owned who you are. You've tackled hard. You've turned the ball over. You've won the ball back. You're starting to get a bit of fucking faith in yourself. And the boys need that because at the end of the day, no one, and I've done a lot of previews, right? No one gave us a fucking prayer 2 weeks ago. No one gave us a prayer against Gold Coast. All I heard was, oh, Pommy, you said they were the third best clearance side. We've been shit at that. We fucking smashed them. And then this week, all I've heard is Fremantle were due a win. Fremantle were due a win. Oh, they're pretty good. Oh, Sarong. Sarong who? Never heard of him. I mean, that's something you wear when you're in India on the beach. It's like a fucking dress made out of fucking towel. Fuck me, man. Give the boys a bit of respect. Well done, boys, man. Yeah. Cowan, if you're watching, thank fuck you're a football team. Well done. Bravo. Now fucking smash Port, because South Australia's Mickey Mouse.
Have a sip, mate. There's a lot to absorb there. Yeah. Joe wrote a comment earlier, Paul, around...
Yeah.
Let me find it. The playing group worked out whatever issues they had internally.
Hmm.
There's definitely a trust element and a connection element that's returned with the group so far.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that?
Well, I mean, look, and to speak about the whole, and not to delve into it too much, because I think you take these things with a grain of salt. Oh, you know, Wiedering and Young don't get along and these players don't get along. And you see it in all the great teams in sport. They're not all mates, but when they take to the field, once you cross the white line, you've got a job to do, right? And I think Roy Keane is the biggest proponent of it. He wasn't best mates with the blokes he played football with. I mean, I'm sure he had people he was close with at Manchester United, it's but yeah, exactly. It's his job. It's their job to go out there and get it done. You don't have to all be best mates. As long as when you take the field, you're in it together. I think they have done that for the last 3 weeks. Have they sorted out the issues internally? Well, for the last 3 weeks, it seems that they have. But in the grand scheme of things, we don't know until the back end of the year and how it all develops. So they look like they're playing with some sort of freedom. They look like they're playing with a camaraderie that would suggest that the back half of the year is going to be really exciting. And it has been for the last 3 weeks. It's just, I think the one thing that was really nice to see was, I think Pommy said it too, they're playing with, not hatred, but they're playing with a bit of a chip on the shoulder, which I don't think we've associated with these boys for a long time. And, you know, to see Cripper at three-quarter time give that got me. That was, I know we're still in 11th spot and whatever that means, that's where we are at the end of round 17. But that little moment there was like, okay, well, maybe you are trying to prove people wrong. And I think going back to what we were saying as a fan base too, and Pommy, you just alluded to it then, when we're all getting angry and frustrated with it all, I think it was justifiably so in those moments for that sort of 6 to 7 week patch. But when they do play well, you've also got to hug them and say, well done, lads. And I think that's what we need to do over the last, I think that's what we've needed to do today and over the next couple of days with what they've done in the last 3 weeks. Because you can continue to look back at what's happened this year, but now we've just got to look forward. And I think they have turned a corner as well with regards to form this season. Now, I think the biggest proponent of it, this block, has been Jacob Wiedering. It's no shock that his form has turned around and he's looked really, really good as well. And he looks mentally clear too, because we all know what happened with him at the start of the season, and that was probably weighing down on him. And you just don't know what's happening off the field as well with a lot of these blokes too. And that's not to excuse critique of performance, clearly, but have internal issues been solved? Maybe up to a certain point. I know Vossi spoke about it in the press conference where he said, you know, we've had the hard, honest conversations that we need to have as a playing group. And I don't think there is a time in that period where you're playing poorly where it just, you have that discussion and then automatically it just clicks. There's probably a little bit of a lag effect with it all. And I think part of it has also been to do with the pressure just coming off a little bit and not playing in the prime time, not being in the front of the newspapers for all the wrong reasons as well. It sort of died off a bit and the players could play with some freedom as well. But this week was a pressure test against Fremantle. Everyone built it up and they passed with flying colours. Now the pressure ramps up again this week. Can they do it? We'll find out. So I'm not going to delve too deep into internals or try to get an assessment into what's going on there, because I think there are still issues. I think everybody knows that, but it's now just trying to find solutions, and they found them for the last 3 weeks. So now it's about sustaining it. That's the big one.
Right.
Can we sustain it?
Can we sustain it? Well, Ur has thrown a $100 donation. Thank you very much, mate. And he says, Butters Rosie, UK. Butters Rosie, Walsh, Chera, can't wait. Paolo, can you say Ur?
Ur. Ur.
Very good.
What is this? Yeah, the G is silent. The G is silent.
The G is silent.
Mars actually confirmed that to me months and months ago.
Yes.
So, shout out to Mars.
Talk about the G. It's the R fucking dancing on the fucking waves. That's
you got to roll your R.
You dance on the waves of the R. That's right.
Come on, stop being discriminative. Some of us can't roll our R's, and that's fine.
That's okay, mate. Okay.
You're still human.
You gave us the language, and we just picked it up a little bit.
We made it better.
Come on. Why am I getting picked on, man?
Paul, you mentioned Vossi, and you mentioned the buy-in. We watched the press conference on the fan cams last night.
Yes.
And the one part that I took away, I wanted to bring it up again, because he said, they've started to invest in the team. And in turn, their game, speaking about it individually, has started to benefit. And then I look at the possession getters, and maybe that's just a really basic way of looking at it. This week, there was only one over 30. Last week, none of them had 30 or more. There's just such a more even spread of contributors. And then you're starting to see these half forwards have their 16 to 18 and these small forwards, as opposed to that discrepancy where you have high possession getters in, you know, the 30s, and then you have your small forwards getting your 7s, 8s, and 9s. I don't know if that's too simple a way to look at it, but the even contribution, and they look like they all want to get each other involved.
Yeah. I think that's clearly evident. The selflessness that they've shown in the last 3 weeks has been there for all to see. And it's no shock that results are actually going our way when that occurs. So I think the one thing for me as well is that it's not necessarily that blokes have just completely turned their form around, if that makes sense. I think it's just been a gradual improvement from, so that the floor that we've set and the floor that players have has come up. And I think that's what we've seen over the last, because I don't think, and I don't, you can probably attest to this probably too, like I've looked at all the numbers and looked at the application. The boys aren't, it's not that they're doing anything absolutely amazing. They're just doing the basics right every week. And Pommy and I always bang on about this. Short, sharp ball movement. Take that short kick through the corridor, even if it might not be going your way early in the game, and it all just opens up. We're not doing, no one's taken 55 speckies and kicking goals from the boundary and kicking goals on the run from 65 meters out or anything like that. It's not, no one's doing anything special. It's just the little things that have incrementally built and built and built and built throughout the game that end up getting to a point where you win by 10 goals. So tackle numbers go up. Is that anything amazing? No, that's just the basic of the game. Running alongside your mates and actually overlapping and committing to the pivot and halfbacks actually committing to a contest and getting up the ground. Is that anything amazing? No, that's just what you have to do. Jacob Wiedering winning his one-on-ones. That's just what he has to do. Moving the ball quickly from half-back when you can and using that short corridor kick. That's just what you have to do. Charlie and Harry getting out the way of each other. That's what you have to do. Small high and high half forwards leading up at the ball and hitting short targets just before the 50 so we can find easier targets inside forward 50. The selflessness against Hawthorn that we saw when blokes were on tight angles looking inside for the easier option, and if it wasn't on, okay, go back and have the shot and set up the ground properly. These aren't amazing things, boys. They're not. They're things that you just have to do. And what do the best teams do week in, week out, Pommy? You always say it. They just get the basics right. They don't do anything amazing. They get the basics right so they don't have to rely on the brilliance to get them through games. It's as simple as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's really simple, and I think a lot has been overplayed. So, like, the Kerno holiday that everyone talked about, and they said that they had open and frank discussions, and I think Voss has kind of told you what it is. And people are saying people have told each other off and stuff. Like, I don't think it's that. And there's a stat at the moment that is being heavily shared around about Wietering, and it's fucking... I've got to get it off my chest because I'm going to punch a hole in my wall, right? And people are going, oh, he's gone from 40th to the best player defensively. And I'm like, what? So you actually, as a media journalist or a fan, think he's just woken up the last 3 weeks and gone, I'm going to stop being fucking shit. And it's that easy. He's just gone, I'm going to stop being shit. Maybe if I stop being shit, we win, right? And it's not that complicated, right? Carlton have gone. When our kicking was shit, we were the second hardest shots at goal with the worst score percentage. So what does that mean? It means our shots literally were from 45 on an angle because it's the least guarded space in your zone. So everyone sacrifices it knowing that you've got a 1 in 3 chance of kicking the goal statistically from AFL. Carlton's percentage was what goal kicking 3 weeks ago? 42. A third is 33%. The maths add up. The maths are mathing. So we were the third easiest shots against by AFL difficulty with the fourth best defence. Let that sink in. We are conceding the easiest shots at goal, third easiest, but we're the fourth hardest to score against, which is why Wietering has gone from being 40th to top in the league recently, because Carlton's midfield is putting the pressure on, thus making the hardest set shots, making it easier for him to intercept because he's not at goal. He's halfway in the 50 with space to go. And another example of working together. Who remembers if I draw this defensive pattern? Fuck's sake, this green screen can eat my bottom. Right. Right. Who remembers this pattern I always complain about for transition goals? The ball goes here. Where do I have to move it? Ball goes here, right, to the back pocket. Yep. Short handball. Mm-hmm. And then we got... Oh, wait, I'm going the wrong way. We got all the way. We got all the way out. That little short kick, handball, all the way out, right? And I can tell you how that works, how that stopped working, right? So the short kick comes here, and what Carlton are doing now, right, it used to go here. And then what would happen, this player from Carlton would have to go and help out, which then this guy would run here, the little handball over the top. Carlton can't help themselves, come out. The ball goes there, and suddenly Jack Sinclair is taking the piss. He's kicking it here. He's kicking it here. Poor Jacob Wietering's one out. That is just buying together that the players are like, I'm not coming off my man. They put a deep forward press on that kick in to take that short option away, which then makes them go out wide. And when they do get it to 50, all the players are one-on-one with a big wall behind them in the midfield. So you've got to go straight over the top. Jordan Boyd saved a goal when they did get brave, and they were brave. They booted it over that second wave, and it was just one-on-ones, and Boyd did it. That makes it harder to score, but that's commitment. You've got to be brave, Terry. People forget defense is bravery. Playing soccer, you've got to be brave sometimes. You've got to come off your man. But if you come off your man too much, you get hurt on the rebound. You get hurt on the overlap. And that's what the boys have done now. They are confident in making them mistakes. And they are actually making the mistakes all the time and being willing to, even when it hurts them. And that's why, because when Carlton sit back, it creates space in behind. And that's why the teams have had top four easiest shots at goal, because you can change the angles. And what are Carlton doing? 65 out, Martin gets the ball, inbound kick to Kerno. Suddenly Kerno's got 55 out and he's picking passes. And it's becoming easy. It's not rocket science. This game's easy. But it is a buy-in. And you know what? Voss hasn't done anything special. Neither have the players. You know what they've done? They just believe. They just believe. They've realised. And I actually think that Essendon game was the tipping point. Paolo called it the wake. I think it was. I think there was a death of selfishness. There was a death of protection. There was a death of, tell you what, maybe I don't want to take that kick. And now they were reborn. It was like a baptism. Now you see Wietering take that ball. Bang, he hits McGovern. Bang, he hits Saad. Where before he was like, oh, shit. I'll go to Young. And then Young's like, oh, shit. Fucking hell, what's this round egg shape thing? Am I a footballer? Is this the G? Like, now they are confident, and that's infectious, and you've got to get behind them. You've got a responsibility, fans. Like I said when we lost to Essendon, to tell them off, to say you demand more because you believe in them. Now, amp that up. Well yeah, done, Wietering. You have got big balls. Boydie, your hairband is sensational. Charlie, I wish I had biceps. That is what you need to be doing, pushing them, because if they do this, they win more games than they lose.
I will say one thing to that, Pommy, when I was referring to it as the death of the club and the group.
Shot. It was a compliment.
No, I know. I actually just wanted to, go back and rehash that, actually, because I do believe in the resurrection. That's why I'm not an atheist. The resurrection can happen. The resurrection can happen. And that's what death is. Death is that part where you go to a certain point and it's all over, but the resurrection can happen. Is it happening now? Maybe.
Well, maybe. I think there's also something to be said for, I don't know if it's a Carlton fan thing or if it's just a human thing. It's like 10 games to go. It's like, we're trading Harry. we're trading Cripps. And we're sacking Voss. And it's like the chapter hasn't been written yet. And we just want the conclusion to be so clear to us, seemingly, that we are forgetting that there are so many ups and downs in a season, and there's a lot more to play out. Yeah. And I think maybe that comes from a place of being hurt so much that you just want to take comfort in, at least you know what's going to happen, so you can mentally and emotionally prepare for what is about to unfold.
Mm.
And there probably is a little bit of something to what happened in the Essendon game. It was a death of sorts, and it was a baptism of fire. You know, the fan, and you know that they lashed out at the players, and you know, Pommy, it rings in my ear every week when we do this show, when you said they realize that they only really have each other on game day.
Yeah. I think in the one thing you can look at too, I think in the lead up to games as well. I mean, and Pommy always alludes to this too. It's the football mentality to coming through and creeping through. If you don't believe in them on game day, I mean, what hope in hell do they have, really, when you think about it? That's you know, there's so many of us as well. So, but it is also up to them to make us believe in them too. So it takes two to tango with regards to, you know.
I think everyone involved has had to evolve.
Yeah, of course.
We sat on the couch on the jumper punch after... Was it after Essendon? No.
I think it was after the Essendon game. I think it was after the Essendon game.
And something special happened on that day, because you, Rocco, and myself just kind of came to this point where it's like, we have gone through every single possible person, group of people. Everyone had been spoken about. And then the fans were spoken about because of what happened in the Essendon game. So everyone's copped their whack. Everyone's come through the other end, we hope. Yeah. And dare I say it, because this has been hard to say on the channel for the last few weeks, I've copped a bit of feedback for this, but like, we're a game out of the eight with seven to go. Like,
well, that's the reality.
We're in the hunt. We're in the mix.
That's the reality, isn't it? And I think to look back on all those moments as well in the year where everyone was getting up in arms and all that, and, you know, I said, oh, press the nuke button and everything. There's still, I think... When you look at it from that perspective as well, I think you said it there too. You're trying to find an answer for what the hell's going on. And Joey, he's nuts. he's crazy. He's a sick, sick puppy.
It's so good.
The way I'm looking at it is people are saying, and I think we've been conditioned to just focus on individuals and one or two certain groups at the club when things aren't going well. So one week it's, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, you've got, and this is when you know it's not great, when everyone's divided on certain issues, right? You've got a certain section of the fan base who believe in what they're doing and are positive, and it's like, oh, yep, this is great. Then you've got another section who think the coach needs to go. Then you've got another section who think the players all need to be traded and they're all no good. Then you've got another section who think the players are really good. then another section who think the board has to go, then another section who think the board has to stay. When you have those divides and continually focus on one group and a few groups, it doesn't do. It is not productive for anybody, no. Right? And this is where I was saying, and it, as a fan base, it's one thing that we have not addressed. What are your intentions? What are your motivations? And we all get emotional and passionate. We all fly off the handle every now and again. You know, I think us three can attest to that definitely. But the one thing that I've always tried to look to get better with, and I think everyone on this channel as well, is that have a go at them when they need to be held into account, hug them when they've done well and say, well done, and give them a pat on the back. But if you have a problem, try to figure out, I mean, how do we figure out solutions, but make it productive. Don't just lambast them and then just leave it at that. What can we do to better them as well? Because we are part of the club. We are the club. We fit into all of that. You know, you've got the Holy Trinity. You've got the players and coaches and the fans, you know, and admin. And it all encompasses the club. So when we say the Carlton Football Club, I refer to us as well. And we need to get better too. So, and that's not to say that everyone in the fan base is, you know, that we're all idiots or anything like that. Everyone gets it wrong. But I think as long as your motivation is to improve the club and actually want them to get better rather than clicks or money or revenue or whatever that is, you know, then I think if it comes from that place, I think we're in a good spot. But everyone's just got to bandy together. And again, that's not me saying, oh, you know, we just need to be super positive and, you know, oh, don't have a go at them or anything like that. I think not having a go at them and not holding them to account is very unhealthy too, because yeah. People talk about toxic people talk about toxic negativity. There's also toxic positivity, where you're in a positive feedback loop, which doesn't help.
Taking away emotion.
Yeah.
You came at me and Terry for this. I expect Paolo to get the same.
Well, that's why we brought the algorithm to the player ratings, mate.
Give it to him. Give it to him. I had to cop it. You fucking cop it.
Yeah. Probably got the phone call.
You know, and again, it's a bloody phone call. So I don't look at it at a point where it's about being right or wrong or anything like that. And I know I'm harping on a little bit here, but I actually wanted to go back to the nuke moment too, because the reason I went for that and the reason I'm looking at that is because I don't see it as a one person or one group problem, right? I look at it holistically and say, well, if we're like this and we're not performing as a club, well, then this is the whole club. And I'm praying that it might only be one thing, and that we change one thing and it's like, oh, everything's better now. But it's not been that, because we've done that consistently over years and years and nothing has become better. So that's where that comes from. But the movie that I've actually watched, and this is actually going to summarize it brilliantly. I don't know if anyone has watched Crimson Tide. Have you watched Crimson Tide, Pommy?
Negative, no. Oh. I have kids and this, mate. My free time, this is it.
I would advise anyone to watch Crimson Tide, because my story as a supporter this year has been Gene Hackman in Crimson Tide. So he's the captain of the SS Alabama, and they're under attack by a Russian submarine, and they get a message sent from the defense post in America to say, ready the missiles. You've got to be ready to launch. We're ready. And that's where I was as a fan. I'm like, mate, we need to ready the bloody explosives here. We need to ready to blow this whole thing up, because this is just going down one way. Then they get a second message which comes through, but the message is cut off. And it's a message about the launch, about the codes. And Denzel Washington plays the understudy to Gene Hackman as the captain. And they're at an impasse. They don't know what to do. And I think that is the perfect scenario for the fan base. You've got half the fan base who want to just blow the joint up, which I was sort of part of. And then you've got half the fan base who are like, no, 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 we need to calm down. And eventually it came to pass that the message that was cut off actually said, no, terminate the launch, get rid of the codes, we're not going to war. So I hope that that is the case. And I think what I've learned in the last month with regards to all of this is that cooler heads will always prevail.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, it's a good segue, because I think let's talk about the administrators for a moment.
Yep.
That loss to Essendon in the past is a coach sacking.
Gone.
It was. It happened. Right? we may be seeing for the first time actual stability. And then when you really think about it, something Patrick Cripp said last week with Mark Murphy on that interview with him, he said he looked at, instead of looking at things of why is this happening to me, he looked at things as why is this happening for me? What do I need to do?
Right.
Like, something is happening. What do I need to do to overcome this?
Yeah.
And I think that's where I think the club needs some credit as well. They just stuck fat. And ultimately, in order for them to prove stability, there needs to be a shit show. Otherwise, what are you proving? You can't have stability unless it's tested. So three coaches in a row, we get to that tipping point.
Yeah.
I don't want to blame individuals. We'll just call it the decision makers of the club decide to go a different way, away from what their plan was. So I'm not saying that what's happened in this season where we lost 8 of 9 is rectified just yet. But what I'm saying is that Essendon game was a coach sacking in my lifetime and they didn't do it this time. So that's a tick. And I'm really big on you've got to want the test. You've got to want the pain. I think people are a little bit fearful of being hurt again because they're fearful of giving in to believing in the group in the fear of maybe being hurt again. We just got killed in round 23 last year. It doesn't get any worse than that.
Yeah.
You can't kill a man that's already dead.
No, I think you nail it. I think what you've seen, Terry, right, is something like here. I saw a great comment here. Josh talks about when Paolo said about setting standards. I remember that. Very good, right? And I think we've talked about the administration, Terry. You're spot on. And you can only prove you're spot on. You can only prove you're a good administration when it's either fucking brilliant or shit. If it's mediocre, the question's answer. And I think what we're seeing at the moment, and I think you might have taken what Paolo said far too literal, Josh, that if you focus just on your result, you get what you've seen the last 10 years, right? The last 10 years has always been finals, flag, finals. Now it's down to finals. We're not even at flag anymore. It's just finals. But we've got to give Voss some credit. There's two people I think aren't getting enough credit in chat, on socials, and in the media. The one is Voss. Voss said from the start, everything is on defense. Everything is on defense. He got panned. I remember you and me, Terry, doing a Monday show and me defending it, saying, okay, we're fourth, but defensively transition is shithouse. And that's where every team scores from. Now that's looking better. And the defense around the ground is looking better. And Voss needs some credit because he has stuck to the process. He hasn't panicked and gone, oh, fuck, shelve the game plan, change it. He has stuck to his game plan from round one this year to now, and now it's bearing fruit because of a buy-in from players. And I thought Cripper's interview with Murphy showed selflessness, him realizing what more can I do. And suddenly, Cripps is leading from the front, and so is Wietering, and they're starting to play free-form football. And the second point, and no one has mentioned this, right? Fuck me, the fans need a round of applause. Absolute round of applause. Because from that Essendon game, social media got toxic. I saw my mate, Scotty, my Scottish brethren, getting a bit upset, saying he's been upset by some of the fans. It has been toxic at times. But you know what has really impressed me? I went on a spree of muting loads of pricks in the Carlton community. It was fucking therapeutic. But I've started to unblock people and unmute them because I'm starting to see people actually realise they do need us. And we're starting to praise them and enjoy the process. I don't know if we'll beat Port. We could get thumped by 100 goals. But all I know is this last 3 weeks, the boys have actually shown a bit of spine. And that means they're going to get closer to finals and closer to a flag if they learn, execute, and trust each other. Because what Paolo said earlier was spot on. We are a club that is obsessed with individual performance. And now the last 3 weeks, you have seen team performance, and team performance is above everything because now it isn't Cripps and Charlie. Now it is Fogarty. It's Cottrell making that rundown tackle. It's Adam Chera running down and chasing people and becoming a defensive beast. It's the fact that we enact pressure at the front end of the ground, which makes it easier for the midfield to lay tackles, which makes it fucking easy for Jacob Wietering to be number one, not 42, number one in the comp. And it's a chain reaction. But you know what? The fans stick by them. And you know what I love about this fan base? And someone said that we're irrational and fickle. I disagree. I think we just love this club so much. Love this club so much. It's almost like, you know, when you... Does anyone remember Of Mice and Men? And there's Lenny, who's a bit simple, but he's big and strong. And he loves the rabbit so much, he crushes and kills it. That's Carlton fans. We're Lenny. We love it so much that sometimes we love it a bit too much and we break it. But you know what's beautiful about our football club is we fucking adore it and we get around it. And credit to everyone. No one walked out. There was no rebellion. There was none of this nonsense. You went to that game. You went to the first game. You went to the Gold Coast game. You went to the Port Frio game. And you'll fucking turn up in drubs at the Port game. And you know what? The players are paying you back. And so they should. But enjoy it. I'm sick of people reading all the time. Don't enjoy it. Don't be happy. Don't be happy. Oh, you can't be happy. We beat Gold Coast. Oh, you can't be happy. We beat this team. Fuck it. I had Terry on death's door when I was doing a live. I thought he was going to fucking quit. Honestly, there was a week, no joke, private conversations. I thought Terry was going to give up the channel. I actually thought, if this keeps going, I don't think Terry can carry on. That's the low. And then I also see the high. So enjoy every minute of it. Because you know what? We could lose by 200 support and be fucking crying. We could do. We don't know. But embrace it now. And that's my issue with this football club. Process, 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 not fucking one moment in time and then the end goal. And at the moment, working towards a goal, working towards. This is more sustainable this last 3 weeks than last year's 8-2 because you've there's so many more layers that can win football games. Long may it continue. Go fucking Blues.
Should we do some votes?
Oh, sorry.
You know what I'm actually loving? I'm actually loving the fact that we have gone down the movie analogy path. It's a feeling. The archetypes. Love the archetypes.
It gets deep. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. Okay. Round 17. 3, 2, and 1. Chat.
Yep.
Get your 3. Get your 2. Get your 1. Pommy. Paul. You guys go for it.
Will I take the reins here, Pommy?
Mate, be my guest.
I'll take the reins. 3 no to Chera.
No present.
3 to Chera, 2 to Walsh, and 1 to my favourite player at the club, Big Harry Mackay.
One vote in the Pom Awards, Adam Saad.
Ooh.
2 votes, Patrick Cripps. 3 votes, Adam Chera.
Ugh.
He does things to me.
There's just something about those Southern Italians, Pommy. Something about those Calabrians, mate.
Makes me want to eat salami.
Andy Hill, Chera Walsh, Harry.
Can I just say something as well before you get to your votes, Terry?
Please.
You mentioned Adam Saad there. The Wolf needs to be loud this Saturday. It's not been loud enough. Mars has been very, very disappointed over the last couple of weeks.
Mars loves to complain, though, let's be honest.
He does.
It was good against Perth. It was very good against Freo.
Was it?
Very good. Very good. Very good.
It is very contrived, though.
Yeah.
It was, but I want to hear it very loudly this week. I think we will.
It'll be loud this week. It'll be loud this week. If you're complaining about the Wolf against Freo yesterday, then you're looking for something to complain about.
This wasn't this week. I promise it wasn't this week. It was the last few weeks. It's probably in line with how we were playing. So yeah. I think that's understandable.
Yeah, fair. Fair. Love Mars, but Mars, smile. You're in Europe, mate. Be he happy. Is.
He's smiling because he hasn't had to deal with this for the last 3 months.
Fair. Fair. Okay. I want to go through a player that just hasn't had attention from round 17.
Mm-hmm.
Each. I'll start. Lockie Fogarty, mate.
Yeah. The little rabbit.
Lockie Fogarty is one of the six. I mean, I think at the start of the year, he falls into the category of those bottom six players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit of a myth, but I get the sentiment. So many people come in the chat each week and talk about you're only as good as what your bottom six allows you to be. And I think Lockie Fogarty in the space of three games has become almost a barometer for the team. And I'm so here for it.
Tough to disagree.
Mm.
Does the basics right. He tackles hard, kicks goals when he needs to. What do you have? 5 score involvements, I think, on the weekend as well. So, and he's actually, aside from the other small forwards that we've had roaming around in the first half of the season, actually gets his hands on the ball. He's not a ghost, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Film analogy.
That was very good. Pommy?
Yes, my friend.
Give us an understated player.
Well, you've taken the obvious one, but I'm going to give some love to Jackie Martin. I think players that are X factor like that, they struggle to do something that's not their job, right? Mm. And I think Jack Martin is probably, I think even if he was on this show now, he would admit he is the biggest ghost if he hasn't kicked 3 goals. What has impressed me last 2 weeks is how hard he works defensively. I think it's Fogarty's causing it, though, but I think it's infectious. Yeah. That bump is so un-Jack Martin-like, it's not funny. But it was probably the best thing I've ever seen Jack Martin do. Like, fuck the goals, fuck the X-Factor moment. That was an intent. And you saw when he hit the guy and he got up, you could see he was shocked. Like, did Jack do that? Like, that is... They're them stigma breakers.
Yeah.
And that said to me, do you remember... About round 4 last year, Collingwood started to beat Collingwood. And you could see teams were like, fucking hell, they're tasty. That there changes the perception of Jack Martin and changes the perception of Carlton. If Jack Martin is going to hip and shoulder you, fucking Jesus, what's Cripper going to do to you? And that'll go through the AFL very quickly.
Hmm. Tough to disagree. Mine's Brody Kemp.
Yeah.
I love him. I really, really like him. I like his intent with ball in hand. I think defensively he just needs to continue to work on that area of his game, but he's still very wet behind the ears. So I've always liked him. I liked his game last year against Freo when he had to play undersized against Tabernacle, and he did a few things there where I thought, yeah, you look like you could be right at the level. And he's come in and he's healthy spot. Like he won't come out. He was a bit quiet ball in hand on the weekend, but I think that was just more a byproduct of our front half and our midfielders just dominating field territory and not putting so much pressure on our defense. So I love his intent with ball in hand as well. Just love his intent. He's always willing to take that low dart short kick to open up the play, and he's always on the front foot too. So I think he's only going to get better as the year goes on. I've really, really liked his influence since he's come in the team.
Fair shout. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Dynamic Hypnotic with the 5 says, my missus has started the shaved Chez group among the local girls on Facebook.
Oh, God.
Needless to say, I'm getting free beers at the pub this week.
Shaved for Chez. Fuck me.
Oh, I've already taken part in that, so.
Well, fantastic. Great.
I love it when we win.
I love it when we win too. It's great. No, I love it when we lose as well.
It's nice to smile.
Yes. Okay. I have a prize to give away.
Oh, okay.
It's time.
Ooh.
This is going away. So we did a survey.
Yes.
BA survey.
Right.
Let me just check. Yeah. We had 720 people complete the survey. So thank you very much to everyone that completed the survey. And thank you very much for your feedback that you provided. I realized I made a little mistake in not getting your first names when I set up the survey, but I've got your email addresses. So I'm here to announce the winner of this Sam Walsh print, thanks to DG Designs. And the winner is, I mean, do I just say the email address? Like, how do I do this? Like, I muffed it.
You want to give the email address away?
That's where I'm like, oh, anyway, DFI at something something is the winner. I will email you and get your address and you will have this. In the future, I will put first names in a survey so I can actually read them out.
That's probably a wise idea.
Yeah. Lesson learned. But congratulations. This is coming your way. And thank you to everybody who completed the survey. And there will be more giveaways in the future. And if you're ever doing a survey, always ask for people's first names. Take it from me.
That's usually the first thing you ask for, isn't it?
I'm here walking so the people can run after me.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah, that's the excuse. Love it. Brilliant. I wonder how many bots entered into the survey as well.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other issue. But lesson learned. Okay. Let's update on. We don't have an update on Matt Kennedy, do we?
They'll probably wait. Maybe there's swelling and stuff that they have to wait for until scans go ahead. But it didn't look ACL-ish. I don't know.
I'm with you. It looked like a hyperextension. An inward medial?
Yeah. I don't know. I pray it's not anything, but when he grabbed it straight away and did that grab, I thought,
a lot of pain.
It did look like the traditional one. I mean, you can only go on at the end of the game, he was giggling and laughing. He was in very good spirits during the celebration, which you would imagine the initial test it's like a 2-weeker max, like an MCL, like Terence is saying. Hmm. Like, so it's probably serious, but not catastrophic. Like, do you know what I mean? Because when it's a bad one, it's pretty instant. The initial prognosis is you're out. He was in very good spirits.
Hmm. It's time to talk about Port Adelaide. Mate, it's fucking on Saturday. 4:35 p.m. Saturday, Marvel Stadium.
Rocking.
If it's not 48,000 minimum, I'll be disappointed. Like, it's got to be every man and their dog at Marvel Stadium on Saturday.
Agree.
What are our initial thoughts about this week, boys?
Pommy?
Well, I mean, this is a game that they've just got to look at the Essendon. Essendon ran them close. Their ability from clearance was a big one to get them back in the game, Essendon. Particularly if you go back and watch that third quarter, they really jumped up from the stoppage. They got their first goal in stoppage and clearance in the third quarter, and they continued it, and they really put a lot of pressure on Port. And that's probably Port's one weakness, is around there. Luckily, our strength. So I think they are, it'd be fair to say, they are the better side this year. I don't think anyone could argue it. Yeah. But our one wood is a lot stronger in that avenue than where their weaknesses are. And they are one of the sides that have the easiest shots at goal, which is one avenue we've closed down. So if anything of these last 3 weeks goes by, we should go in this with hope.
Yeah. Tough to disagree. I think it's the momentum we've built up. It's tough not to be excited for this game. It's not a game that we're looking at with dread now, which is great. It's a game that we're looking at with quiet optimism, I think, which is good. And I think from our perspective as well, I know maybe I think Kennedy will probably be out, but Hewitt will come in for him, you would suspect. And if McGovern misses with that, that was a pretty bad corky that he called. That was a ripper, that. So he might be 60-40, 50-50. Marchbank was good enough in the reserves to slot in if they want to go down that path. But what do I think? Big crowd, a lot of noise. Has the feeling of the Sydney game from last year.
100% that vibe. On that. Yep.
Yeah, a little bit of that vibe. I think, look, it's tough to be up for as long as Port Adelaide have in an AFL season. That's just the reality of it. I mean, it's so hard to win. It's so hard to win 13 games in a row, which they've done, let alone 14. Are they due? They looked a little bit vulnerable against Gold Coast and Essendon. I don't believe in that. Oh, they're due for a loss or anything like that, but they're gettable. They're definitely gettable. And our lads are playing well. So why not? Can't buy 2 points.
Yeah. I'm sensing a thriller at Marvel. This is what it's all about though. A genuine 19th man. Yeah. I think Geelong I was pretty excited for this year. And then obviously as we kept losing, it was like, oh, okay. This one, I just know walking into Marvel, it's going to have that feeling about it again, like the Carlton game feeling that hasn't been there for the majority of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be like a jungle, like a zoo. Oh, like it was that time against them. Yeah, that was like, legit 50K gorillas just like hunting an opposition down. Oh. And that, you know how big we are on the 19th man vibe. Like that is a factor. It's a huge factor.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do get a sense of Richmond. This is we know we can only lose two games to make finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I do get a real vibe of Western Bulldogs last year, where we all did our ladder predictors. We've got to get something out of our first two games.
Yep.
And because we've knocked off Fremantle, which would have been one of them games that if you were thinking two losses away, Fremantle, potentially a loss, we could lose it. They've got a free hit mentality in this.
Yeah.
So there is no pressure on the Blues in this game. This is that game where the Blues go out and go, if we lose, we're meant to lose. They have been dominant this season. It's one of the games we can afford to lose. So I think that's the big thing for me, that they get, and that's when I like this team, because the pressure isn't there. The pressure comes on if they do win it, but there's no expectation. If they win it, they win it. If they lose it, they lose it. They're meant to. So I like it when we're in that position.
Mm-hmm. VFL updates, any significant news there? Literally the two VFL boys.
Bins was good, very good defensively, hard work. Ollie Hollands basically told you just to underline Lockie O'Brien.
Correct.
Like, yeah.
His work rate behind the ball, considering he did his collarbone, ridiculous.
And getting forward too.
Yeah. His strength, brilliant. Both of them too. Rolling behind stoppage were amazing. Marchbank, his second half was a thing of beauty. Like, Jesus. There was about 10 minutes into the third where I had a smile because people had a go at me for saying Coburg are good. And I was like, you've misquoted me. I said, they're very good on the wing. You'll see it. And they came back like a storming horse down that wing. Mm. Marchbank was calm as you like. His intercept marking was brilliant. His ball use was good. Yeah. Jesse Motlop, hate to do it to you, Terry, but Motlop's gone ahead of Fish.
What is this thing that's just happening every week?
It's just how it falls into it. But he was playing that Fisher role, playing that smaller guy, half forward, bit of midfield time, touch of class. And a shout out to my boy, Hudson O'Keefe. Tell you what, doing the VFL rap every year, I said that he just needs one game to feel like he belongs. This body of work he's put in the last 3 weeks has really been impressive. He's really building into it. He looks a ruckman, and I do like Lemmy playing this ruck forward role. I think the second ruck at Carlton needs to be a ruck forward role.
I like him.
Really impressed with his work behind the ball this week as well. So some nice ones.
Jack Carroll was pretty good too in midfield. I liked his game as well. He's returning.
Yeah,
well.
They need to stop Dow in the VFL. Like, I don't know how they do it, but if they can stop playing Dow in the seniors in the VFL, it will fucking help Jack Carroll's game. It 100%. Will. And I actually think we have to be selfish to Dow and go, Carroll's here for two more years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he controlled the mid well, albeit against a very shit inside midfield contingent. It has to be said, but he was very strong.
So what changes are you making? If De Koning's available, do you bring him in? And if so, who for? Is it just unlucky Lewis or Jack?
Maybe it is unlucky Lewis or Jack. I think that's the path they'll go down. And I think while Kennedy will clearly come out, and I think Hewitt as the sub comes in, and then they probably elevate Dow into the sub role, the super sub.
Don't mind that.
Mm.
Don't mind that at all. So let's look at the rest of the evening / week. Firstly, Almost Blues Brothers in 15 minutes, 16 minutes. Joe's going to blow a gasket. It's unbelievable. It's so good. He's
legitimately lost the plot.
Nah. No. He's found the plot.
Yes. Well played. Very well played.
He's found the plot. Joey's back. Joey's found Joe has risen from the ashes. I can tell you that.
The resurrection has occurred.
Yes. He's chomping at the bit.
He said before the prophecy is to be fulfilled now, apparently. So I hope he's right.
So that's going to happen at 8:30 tonight, guys. Tomorrow, Pommy selection, the team selection show tomorrow. It's a great, it's a hoot. I've got to say, it's a hoot. It's a lot of fun. That's at 6. Is that right?
Yep. It is, sir. Yep.
7 p.m. Jumper Punch. Take a look at this for a special guest.
Big thank you to Sniff Northland. Get down here and try it out. Best sniff in the place, in the business. So thank you, and to the Jumper Punch. Cheers a night. Make sure you get tuned in and watch it.
Big Red.
He's still looking good, Big Red. He's looking good. I won't be on. I won't be on the show for the next sort of couple of weeks because of work and some other stuff in the background. But so my lovely skull and lovely head will not be gracing the airways of the Jumper Punch for the next few weeks. But they've got some ample replacements, put it that way.
I bet they do. I bet they do. So tune in tomorrow, Wednesday. It's all happening. It's the besties. And it is also the rest. Also, I'll have a few more little videos. We'll do the story of Port this week. So get your memories ready for when that drops. Yes. So we're going to have your best memory and your worst memory. Bit of history with Port Adelaide. A bit more than Freo anyway.
Yeah.
Thursday teams, right? Because it's a Saturday game. So they'll be straight to the final teams.
Lovely. It's good.
Okay. So I won't be doing the extended teams. Pommy, Leck Dog. The teams, mate.
Huge. Love a bit of teams. I love the teams.
Teams is fun. Teams is new and teams is fun. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. It's when the hope starts to really get towards that peak moment when the teams are released and when everybody either, oh yeah, Vossi, what a genius, or it's like, oh, why did they bring him into the team? And I try not to get too much into that team selection sort of stuff. To a certain point, yes, but it's a night where everyone comes out. It's great. Might I also, too, I just wanted to, and I think everyone, I think you might have seen on Twitter as well, but the Carlton Besties, big shout out and a lot of love to Jazz, because she's going through a bit of a tough time at the moment with some family and friends. So we're sending her all our love. Stay strong. Keep up with the content. It's been great. And to Josh, Mars will be back at the start of August. So be prepared. The St Kilda game is when he will be back. So sit tight.
No, well said. Well said. Sending love to the Ozanas family. Yes. Yep. Wietering's 150th this week, boys.
Oh, yes. There's a few milestones being ticked off, aren't there?
He's in the final half, third of his career now.
It is what it is.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's like... we have that memory with them now. We've got we remember them as teenagers. It's crazy. Wietering's about to play his 150th, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Where does time go?
What do you got there,
Pommy? Pretty good for us, Pommy.
I just thought I'd do this. Look, Port are a massive club. And then I ran the numbers and it came up with this. Can't argue with numbers.
Oh, dearie me.
Who's the ruckman at Port this year? Because they're all injured, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, Lysette's hurt.
Yes, with a knee.
Yeah, it's Hayes, isn't it? Lysette's out. So he's done it who was it this week? Yeah, it was Hayes. I've always said it. Hayes is an absolute dog shit ruckman. Absolute fucking garbage. Absolute shilbit.
Oh, God.
Peter Ladders. That's something for your top five historical moments, Terry.
Oh, do you remember when we turned Peter Ladders into prime Jim Steins?
He turned Peter Ladders into Jim Steins.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's right. Oh, those are the days.
I will take full responsibility if Hayes turns into prime Gorn. It won't happen though, because the guy is absolute babber, honestly. Absolute. Fucking 4 month old bread, that's what. We'll be fine.
All right. That is us. Thanks for being here, Paul, Pommy.
Thank you.
It's been fun. It's been real. Thanks for the chat. It was good.
Always good. Always a pleasure.
All right.
Love you all.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Paul are a massive club. Oh, my fuck.